Good to have everybody here today. Amen. I have had now for some time building within me this sense of anticipation. I guess that's the best way I can put it. On the one hand, I see multitudes that are completely asleep. And on the other hand, I see indisputable evidence that things that I've been teaching are definitely coming to pass. It's just about here. I know you've heard that all your life. I know that. I know the generation before you preached that. I know that. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's just too much happening for us to believe that it can be much longer. It's going to be soon. And it's not going to happen the way people expect it. There's something working, has been working for some time. And we'll get into that today. Father, bless the book. And give me the wisdom, Lord, I need to stand and teach this book. Yes. Heavenly Father, give me the Spirit, Lord, I need to minister the Word of God. And then, Father, give the people ears to hear it, God, that it may go forth not only to those who hear it in this auditorium, but those who are watching by the Internet at this moment and those who will receive it later through the archives. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, now I want you to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 1. Psalms, 150 of them. Sung, they were intended to be sung. Psalms, which are songs, intended to be sung in worship to Almighty God. As a matter of fact, music was created originally to worship God. Therefore, music in itself has a spiritual medium. I mean, that goes without saying. It's a spiritual medium attached to music, created to worship God. Therefore, if it's the wrong music, then it has the wrong spirit. Most of the time, the words are only incidental. The music itself bears directly on what's going on. Let's get back into the text. Psalm chapter number 2, verse 1. Why did the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, and against His anointed, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This is essentially universal now. Just about every nation, every government in the nation. Now, nations themselves, a nation's made up of people. And the people in the nation many times have many good people that love the Lord. But the governments that govern those nations is at issue here. And they're casting off the authority of the Word of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Scripture. And, of course, what you have here is a conspiracy. They conspire. And a conspiracy is where you have two or more who come together and set about to do a certain thing. Now, how many of you in here this morning really do believe that such a thing as a conspiracy theory could be a reality? I mean, just at least have enough of an open mind to say, well, I'm willing to consider the facts and look at them. Good. And if you're willing to do that, then you can progress from that point. Now, we've covered a lot of ground in here. I've talked about a lot of stuff that to some people seems so wild and fanatical and just absolutely unbelievable. And J. Edgar Hoover, and this is not a great endorsement of J. Edgar Hoover, but he was the one who started the FBI, said that when someone is faced with a conspiracy of such overwhelming proportions that it's hard to deal with it. Well, that's what you're dealing with now. You're dealing with a conspiracy of overwhelming proportions. Now, I want to talk about a couple of people here this morning to open up for you, make you think. I want to make you think. You can't leave here without thinking. You have to. And I'm going to mention two names. One name that obviously should be familiar with everybody in this house. And the other name should be familiar with most of you. JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, was assassinated November the 22nd, 1963, in Dallas, Texas. Most of you have probably seen footage of that assassination time and time and time and time again. I was in high school when that happened. I remember the very moment that I learned of it. I was watching television when Jack Ruby went up and shot Lee Harvey Oswald. I was watching it live on television the very moment it happened. So I witnessed history. Now, the events of history, there's no question about what happened. The interpretation of those events comes under an entirely different heading. Why did they kill JFK? And all kinds of theories, all kinds. Just recently, they came out with a thing that said Jackie, his wife, considered LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, his vice president, a candidate, thought he might have killed her husband. And the mafia, they say, might have killed John Kennedy. And the Russians might have killed him, or the Mossad. I've seen time and again where the Mossad, this is the CIA of Israel, the Mossad, where they killed him. And drug runners killed him. All kinds of speculation. But on April the 19th of this year, 2011, a man by the name of William Lester got a hold of a document from the CIA that has, by the force of law and the Disclosure of Information Act, he got a hold of a document that showed where John Kennedy, in 1963, on November the 12th, 10 days before he was gunned down, demanded to know more about the UFO situation from the CIA. He demanded to know it. He wanted to know what was going on. Now you can get out from the peripherals of it where, you know, it was in, he thought maybe that the Russians possibly thought that we were sending spy planes over Russia and so forth and the UFOs and blah, blah. But if you don't, some of you, you know, you weren't alive back in the early 60s. And you don't remember, you wouldn't know what hysteria was in this country over UFOs. Literally, hysteria. And in 1947, in Roswell, New Mexico, a UFO craft apparently crashed and immediately came under investigation of the government. This was in 1947. Harry Truman was the president of the United States in 1947. He became the president when Roosevelt died in Warm Springs, Georgia. Truman was the president. And immediately upon the finding of this alien craft, he created the CIA. Remember that now. That's important. The CIA was created under Harry Truman. And it coincided with this crash of this UFO at Roswell, New Mexico. 1947. In 1947, Admiral Byrd, if you remember, I gave you the date, flew over the North Pole. And it wasn't long after he flew over that North Pole that the first Secretary of Defense, Forrestal, I think his name was James Forrestal, supposedly committed suicide. This was one about 1947. We have some major names now that we have to deal with. First of all, anyone that does any research into it will find out that Forrestal did not commit suicide. He was murdered. But right before he was murdered, he came out as the first Secretary of Defense. Remember now, he's the Secretary of Defense of the United States. In plainer words, he's been given the responsibility to defend this nation. He's in the chain of command, by the way, in the military. He is in the direct chain of command. He commands generals, all right? Before he died, he demanded information on UFOs. UFOs. And it wasn't long after that James Forrestal supposedly committed suicide, jumping from the sixth floor of a hospital. And he did not commit suicide. There's so much information available. Don't have time getting all of that. Just check it out for yourself. November the 12th, 1963, John Fitzgerald Kennedy demanded to know more about UFOs. 10 days later, he was dead in Dallas, Texas. What's going on? These are two high-profile people. And the reason I put their name out here before you this morning is because When people in that position and place of authority die, then, we need to find out what's going on. They're dead. And their death was related to UFOs. Now, as I've said to you before and say again, I do not believe that UFOs have anything to do with some kind of a extraterrestrial civilization, superior beings coming down here from some kind of a creatures that live off out here in the stars somewhere. I believe that they are definitely connected with demonic activity. But the truth of the matter is, for the most part, most people have underestimated demons. That's the problem. They've underestimated them. And that's what's going on. Here, all you have to do is type it in, and you'll find an amazing amount of information. These are mysterious deaths that have taken place over the last few decades of high-profile people that are related to the UFO search, UFO research, anything related to UFOs, scientists, all kinds of professionals. A list continues to grow. It's not a plaything. It's not something that you want to play with. As a matter of fact, the one who compiled this gives a warning at the end. The warning says, final word. Since the field of UFO and secret government research seems to have a lot of danger attached to it, it is highly recommended that people involved in this do so only when they feel guided to do so by God and their intuition and higher self, not because it is exciting or profitable, or because the world needs it. If you do what God wants you to do, I believe you'll be given protection. Joan of Arc was given protection and success in early stages when God was speaking to her, but later she continued on until under her own steam, not noticing that God did not tell her to do more than he originally asked her to do, and she paid the price. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be written from a Bible or a Christian perspective. It's simply written to warn you that these are facts and that you have to deal with them. Now, if there's anybody in here who'd like to have a copy of this, I forget how many pages. 19. I've got 19 pages. This is only a small part of what's going on. If you'd like to have a copy of this, see Edna Moreland after the service today when she gets here. See her. And she will print for you a copy of these names. And then we can add to these JFK and Forrestal. And do your own research. I have encouraged you from day one to do your own research and to check this out for yourself and to find out the implications, because the implications are profound. What are the implications? The implications boggle the mind. What's going on? Whatever's going on is going on at a much higher level than people give credit. And that what has been going on for some time. And that what's been going on has brought us to the place we are today, and we're not far from it finishing. Not far. The reason I warned you about Rick Warren is because Rick Warren is a plant, if you please, by the CFR. He belongs to the CFR. He's proud of that. If you don't know what the CFR represents, go type it into your computer when you get home. Council on Foreign Relations. You'll find out it is a one-world globalist outfit. He's also has a big hand in what goes on in the UN. He's their ambassador of peace to the world. He's an ecumenicist. But what's so troubling about him is that openly now he has occult teachers coming into the church under the guise of holistic health to introduce people to Kundalini yoga, tantric sex, and contemplative mysticism. Now that sounds like a big mouthful, but the bottom line is, any of these three things lead you into demon possession. By leading you into demon possession, you become one of the millions and millions in this country and in the world who will be ready receivers of these UFO occupants and of the great lie that's coming. And that lie is on the verge of being manifest openly. It's going to be sprung on people. The official government position, UFOs don't exist. But it's an amazing thing when Barack Obama became president, he essentially gutted one of the major government organizations. Do you know who that is? That's NASA. National Aeronautics and Space Administration, he gutted it. He stopped the NASA probes. He stopped these trips they were taking. And a lot of people are very upset with him over that. But he did that. And NASA is directly connected with UFOs. I don't know if you've said it, if you read it in the paper just this last few days. But NASA gave a warning. NASA gave a warning that we may be in contact with extraterrestrials in the very near future. How many saw that in the news? In between commercials. See, the problem... the problem is that people are brainwashed and all they want is entertainment. And they'll go to great lengths not to think. They give lip service to the idea that you live in the terminal generation right before the second coming of Christ, but it really doesn't affect the way they live. Because they really don't believe it. It's in the head. You remember what I talked about Wednesday night? What James was written for? It was to get it out of your head into your heart. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Who did? Russia. About what? About extraterrestrials? Right. And terra is the Latin word for earth. So extraterrestrial means not of this earth. It means outside of the terra of planet earth. So it's something that comes from above. Now, you know, you can spend a lifetime talking about all the different theories as it relates to UFOs and all this stuff. But I'm a pastor. And I have a responsibility to you to teach you the truth, because I watch for your souls. According to the book of Hebrews, I am accountable to God for the truth. If I disseminate the truth, then I've done what I'm supposed to do. And I can't force it upon you. I can't force you to accept it, but I can expose you to it. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to stimulate your thinking to where you'll go home and do some research on your own. And you're going to be amazed at how that these things begin to tie in with one thing. And that's what a researcher looks for. He looks for connections. Connections that lead him to a place where he can begin to put things together. Sometimes it's just like walking out into a field and you got 1,000 different pieces and parts and you have no idea what it originally was. See? And then once you start putting it together and it begins to fit like a jigsaw puzzle, then you begin to get a much better picture of what you're dealing with. That's what's happening in here. That's what's happening with me. The more I research this stuff, the bigger the picture becomes. And the deeper it gets. And the more profound it is. Here's a copy of the memo that the CIA made back in 1963. And in it they said that the president, they called him Lancer. That was his code name. Renegade is the code name of the man on 1600 right now. And JFK's code name was Lancer. And the CIA, the Secret Service, they have their code names for the ones that they protect. And apparently, in the document from the CIA, they said he has requested information on UFOs, and we cannot let that happen. And 10 days later, he's dead. Now, sometimes, you know, lies are fed to confuse you. And false trails are laid out to get you running the opposite end, make you look like a fool in the eyes of people, in the eyes of the community, and so forth. So you've got to remember that. You've got to remember that all kinds of false flags, as they call them, happens. Yes, it does. But if you're a Bible believer today, you have a foundation that this world knows nothing about. And you shouldn't be fooled with how cunning Satan is. He's cunning. And how smart these demons are. Let me tell you something. There's not a man with a PhD or a THD teaching in any college or university in the world that can tell you what a demon is. Now, this is, I'm going to give you that. Think about it. Take it home with you and mull it over in your mind. All he can do is say, well, it's, the Greek word is daimonion, and it's translated evil spirit or unclean spirit, and so forth and so on. Okay, what is it? Where did it come from? They can't tell you. I've studied this stuff for 30-something years. They can't tell you. They say, well, they're the fallen angels. And that's what the Bible says in Peter. It says the angels that kept not their first estate are in the lowest hell. They're in Tartarus. They're in Tartarus. And it talks about angels that are going to fall in the future in the book of Revelation, chapter number 12. A third of the stars of heaven, the tail of that dragon pulls them out of heaven when he goes into mortal combat with Michael. That's going to take place in the future. This earth is going to see spectacular things it's never even knew existed. Battle on a level higher than this earth has ever known is about to take place. Battle between forces that are unbelievable in their power is about to take place in the heavens right above your head. And it's about to happen, and it will happen. And when Michael, that stands for Israel, he will go directly head to head against the dragon. And when he goes head to head against the dragon, they will lock horns. In the Old Testament, when Michael faced off Satan, the Bible says he would not bring a railing accusation against him. And this was over the body of Moses, because the devil wanted the body of Moses. And God buried Moses. But Michael would not bring a railing accusation against Satan, but the Bible said, he said, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. Amen. And so it was over. The next time Michael and Satan meet, it's going to be to the death. And they're going to meet. And they're going to meet in the heavens. And their battle is going to be over that little nation, Israel. But right now, that's who Michael stands for. The Bible says in Daniel, he stands for the children of thy people, the children of Israel. And so watch carefully. It's heating up right now between Israel and Egypt. It's heating up. They're going to hang Mubarak. Apparently they're going to throw him to the lions. James Forrestal is a friend of Richard Byrd. And remember, go back over the notes, because I got so much to cover this morning, I can't go back over all that with you. But Richard Byrd flew over the North Pole and saw this unbelievable sight. He saw green trees. He saw rivers. He saw a city. He saw flying saucers. He was taken into a leader. He saw all of this. He wrote it in his diary right before he died. He said, I cannot leave this world without the world knowing what I saw. Well, now think about it a minute. If James Forrestal and Richard Byrd were good friends, then maybe that Richard Byrd told James Forrestal what he saw long before it was ever made public in his diary. Forrestal knew about it. And Forrestal knew about Roswell. And Forrestal obviously knew about a lot of things. And he wanted to know what was going on. And they killed him. Why? That's what we're going to deal with. What's happening? Well, there's a cover-up. In this thing right here, you're going to find dozens of names of people that have died. Dozens that have died as a result of their involvement in this one way or another. So, what's my point in it? My point is that I'm not doing this because I want publicity. I'm doing it as a Baptist pastor. Maybe the last thing I do before I leave this world is to warn you about what's coming. I've done my job. I'm accountable. I'm accountable to God to do that. Now, how many of you have ever heard of a man named Peter Ruckman? You should hear of him. I have the greatest respect for Peter Ruckman. I don't agree with everything he says. But Peter Ruckman has one of the finest brains that I've ever known among men who think they're smart. He's not one of them. He is smart. When Peter Ruckman researches something, he researches it thoroughly. In 1995, Peter Ruckman said that JFK demanded information about UFOs long before William Lester ever came out with what he said in April the 19th of 2011. Think about that. He wrote it in his book, Black is Beautiful. How many has ever heard of that book? If you don't have it, get a copy of it. I highly recommend it. What does it deal with? Well, it doesn't deal with black folks. It's not talking about... They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not about racism. It's about demonic activity. It's about the grand delusion that's coming down on this earth. That's what it's about. And it begins to put it together. I'm going to take his notes from the end of the book. Now, let me say this, in case you're thinking, oh, so that's where you got all your stuff. No, I never read the book. Never researched it. Before I started this study, the book was given to me a long time ago. I thumbed through it, and I go through books sometimes. I just zip, and I'm through it. And I laid it down because I didn't take time. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for it. God knew it. But I'm glad that the individual gave me that book, because I got to thinking the other day, now, wait a minute here. I started scratching my head. I thought, I've been in this stuff now. And all this stuff starting to come out. Wonder what he says. And I picked up the book and I began to read it. And I was amazed at what Peter Ruckman said in 1995. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear what this man has to say after he did all his research and the stuff we're doing? This is the summary. These are the conclusions that he comes to. All right, we'll quickly move through. We don't have 20 minutes. UFOs are for real and have been for many, many centuries. Their regular occupants are not aliens from outer space, unless some of them, of course, are demonic spirits that can materialize. In other words, he believes what I believe. They're demons. Their habitual occupants are animal mutants that have been produced by superior intelligences. In this case, the superior intelligence would have been fallen angels. Jude 2, 2 Peter 2, Genesis 6. He gets off into a little tangent there about that, which may very well be true, because he's dealing with all of these animal mutations. How many's ever heard of the animal mutations? You didn't buy the spin the government gave you, did you? Where their whole insides are cored out? Unbelievable. In either case, none of the occupants were around 450,000 B.C. or 100,000 B.C. or 10,000 B.C. They're liars, taking advantage of the fact that they know that their marks or taps, Americans circa 1930 for suckers who were gullible enough to believe a gaffed act, are college-educated monkey man. You got to understand, Peter Ruckman is pretty plain and blunt about some things. They swallowed Darwin. Remember I told you about Darwin. Darwin is not only biological evolution. Darwin is social evolution. And Darwin is spiritual evolution. Remember that. Remember that. It's very important. They do constitute several varieties in both appearance and power. That is, they are racist. Remember what I told you about racism? Remember what I told you about the higher echelons? I found this out on my own. Come to find out, here's this man saying the same thing. They play with you. Their ancestors and progenitors were called gods, left a legacy in Greek, Norse, German, Roman, Incan, Mayan, Egyptian, Aztec, Hindu, and Indonesian mythology that has come down to us through the centuries. They are what the old theologians would call polytheists. Although these liars have added two delicate scientific touches to cover up their deceit, they have adopted the universe as a supreme god. Darwin and Huxley again, after the old Greek philosophy of materialism, the eternity of the universe. In other words, that's another way of saying, just to simply say it this way, there is no real personal God, that everything has to do with this great impersonal spirit, and we're all part of this great cosmos. You know the one who talked about the cosmos all the time before he died. And these spirits are in this cosmos, and we're part of it, and one day we're going to be God. That's the idea. That's what's going on. College professors at UT believe that stuff, folks. And none of them are looking for planets to live on, and none of them have left any planet because of any ice age or a sun burning out. They are liars. They are liars like the 20th century scientists. Einstein, Hawking, Planck, Huxley, Paley, Heisenberg, von Linn, Medawar, James, Lysenko, Bateson, Leakey, Steno, Fisher, Harunen, Spiegelman, so forth and so on. He has a tendency to get in a long list of naming names. And the news media, Lifetime, Newsweek, People, Omri, USA Today, U.S. News, World Report, The New Yorker, National Geographic, Fortune, CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN. This was before Fox. This was 1995, remember, when the book was published, 95. And I don't think there's been an update to that that I know of. 1995, and so forth and so on. These degenerate mutants are looking for this planet to live on. Their secrecy, which won't be much longer, is due to the fact that their plan is not crime control or gun control or genocide of the human race. It is people control. Absolutely. Their goal is to become gods to this planet by climbing into the seat of absolute authority. They intend to use human beings for their own ends. We're talking about intelligent spirit beings. All of the weird phenomena reported between 3000 B.C. and A.D. 1990, at least where it is aerial and deals with gremlins, trolls, Bigfoot, pixies, leprechauns, etc., is connected with these aliens. They do not date from any time before Genesis 1-2. Most of them would date from 4000 to 2500 B.C., the days of Noah. And by studying the Bible, it says plainly that in the days of Noah, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Some of them may date from 4000 BC. In either case, none of them are none of them are creators, and all of them will be eradicated by the Creator, according to Jeremiah 10:11. This explains why an angel preaches another gospel in the tribulation, even though he is supposed to be cursed for doing so. He is not cursed. His gospel is that there is one true God who is the Creator. See what he did? See how he connected that? Note, not one Bible scholar or any Bible teacher or one student connected with any of the teachers or preachers mentioned in number 8 were able to find any of this material. They put their faith in Greek scholarship and some unknown, unread, unseen original autographs that never constituted a Bible. Let me explain that for just a moment. When somebody says the original autographs say, you hear it all the time, all right? I'm going to be honest. I don't want to come across wrong with you. They've never seen the original autographs. They've never touched them. You could give them $1 million and they couldn't produce them. They're quoting something that they do not know even exists. That's what he's saying. They could exist. They could be buried somewhere underneath some mountain somewhere, and who knows? Nobody knows, but nobody has the original autographs. So what is that called? That's disingenuous. That's making them appear to you like they're some great scholar in possession of some great truth that you don't have, and they're using that to hold the wool over your eyes. They don't have any original autographs. They don't have them. I can't say they don't exist, but they are not what the... There's another word for it. It's called extant. That word, E-X-T-A-N-T, simply means that they are not where somebody can lay their hands on them. See, that's what that word means. They're not extant. They're not where you can go to them. And so this is what he's talking about. He sees the hypocrisy in all this stuff. But anyway, the moral and spiritual character of these materialistic evolutionists, the mutants, aliens, spiritual wickedness, high place, so forth, is the moral character of any unsaved atheist in the French Revolution or any unsaved evolutionist in Hitler's Third Reich. They have no morals. Amen. They are vicious. At heart, they are egomaniacal killers and cannibals. In the book, murderers have a creator who is called their father, John 8. He is the original murderer. The plan is simple. Stay hidden for a while underground. Thus we have in the North Pole an entrance to the Hollow Earth, South Pole, Hollow Earth, the Operation High Jump that took Nimitz, the creator of the nuclear navy, went down there with 7,000 sailors and ships. And so there's something going on in the earth. You remember the hole that was bored up there in Russia, the deepest in the earth, and the sounds that came out of that thing? All right. He says, the plan is simple. Stay hidden for a while underground. Their main affinity, after all, is with the grave, the bottomless pit, and hell. Not population of outer space or space travel. Amen, son. That's who they're connected with, and that's where they'll be. Stay hidden until the rapture. And so this is what I'm talking about, everything being sprung on people. At the moment, come up hither. Come up hither. At that moment, all hell breaks loose on the earth. Everything will change. But you can see it build. Do you really... How many... I'm going to ask you, you don't have to raise your hand, but... In the back of your mind, have you ever wondered, well, you know, there may be something going on. I mean, all these people have seen this stuff. There's got to be something going on. There is something going on. Then comes the great revelation. Now, listen carefully to what I'm saying. Then comes the great revelation. We have just transported so many million people to Planet X, or something like that. Because they were undesirables who did not fit into the New World Age or the New World Order, the New Age. Or, population of outer space has begun. These were transported as colonizers. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Neo-Darwinism, as taught in every state college and state university in America, 1995. In other words, that's the way they're going to explain the people missing from this earth when the rapture takes place. These spirit beings that will have them under their power. Remember this now, it's important. A spirit of blindness, a spirit of deception, God will send down on this earth. because they believe not the truth, but believe the lie. God will send them strong delusion. And then finally, now they can come topside. Now all secrecy can be dispensed with. For now, their Creator can show up. That's the scenario. He may not be far. He may be right on the money. What did I just say? What did I read for you? I read for you what a man, a very brilliant man, after all this research, he says that these spirit beings, these demonic beings, have been orchestrating this great occult theatrics for about 50 years since 1947, because the big thing started in 47. To get the people, you remember what it was that the devil said to Eve? The Lord doth know that in the day you eat thereof, it's that curiosity. See? And he's brainwashing the people through the television and through the theaters. He's got a whole generation of kids here who want to make love to a vampire. And all kinds of weird stuff. And they just embrace it. They're embracing it. When you embrace that, folks, you embrace the spirit. The Bible says that the idol's nothing, but the spirit of the idol is a demon. The Old Testament says you hew out a stone or cut a piece of wood. There's nothing in the stone or the wood, but the spirit behind it. Well, it's the same thing with all this message that goes out. They're receiving the spirit. The church. First, it starts with the military. All right, the military. The deception begins in the military. Then the deception spreads into the government. The government cover-up. Then the deception spreads into the churches. That's where it is right now. The deception has spread into the churches through men like Rick Warren, the rest of them. It has spread into the churches. They are. Listen, you may not know this, but this stuff I'm talking about is spreading like wildfire. Wildfire. It's spread into the churches. So what's left? What's left is whatever that Satan has planned in his one world order, in his one world government, to create whatever crisis he needs to set about his taking over the world's kingdoms. That's what he plans. But there's one who's going to thwart his plans. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having given you that this morning about what Peter Ruckman said. Now, listen, folks, if you even mention the name Peter Ruckman to some people, they're going to criticize you. They're going to run you down. He's on his third wife, I think. And Peter Ruckman's not a perfect man. I'm not up here to preach Peter Ruckman, but I am up here to tell you today that if he researches something, 99 times out of 100, his research is going to hit right on the head. And you better listen to what the man has to say. He was one of the very few, when I first came into the ministry, who was raising the alarm about the King James Bible. One of the very few. Many of the great men that these fundamentalists are pushing right now over to the people as if they were King James men, they were not King James men. No, they're not. Anytime you hear somebody say Yahweh instead of Jehovah, go look in your Old Testament. And what does it say? Does it say Yahweh or does it say Jehovah? That's the Tetragrammaton. Without getting into a big long deal, the reason we say Jehovah is because of the Masoretic vowel points that were added by the Jews, who are the keepers of the oracles of God, not the Gentiles. And these Masoretic vowel points were put in there by the Jews so we could pronounce that unpronounceable, sacred, holy, high name. That's his name, folks. God's not his name. Jehovah is his name. And the pronunciation of Jehovah is solely, totally, completely based on what the Masoretes put. Seghol, Holam Wow, Kamasatuf. Those are the three vowels. Yeah. Ho. Ah. All right? When I say that, I know why I'm saying it. I'm saying it because of Hebrew and because of the markings in it. Next time somebody says Yahweh, I don't want to be mean, but every once in a while I do. I'm serious. Try this one. Try it. Please try it. When they come along, you know, and they say Yahweh, ask them, how do you pronounce that? I mean, what do you base that on? They don't have any vowel points. They can't do it on that. They've already dismissed the Masoretic vowel points. Okay? Ask them a simple question. You said Yahweh. You took Yod, He, Vowel, He. You took the four consonants of the Tetragrammaton. They're consonants. You must have vowels to pronounce consonants. Ask them how they got Yahweh. And watch them stutter. They've never thought about that. They kick the Jehovah out and hand you Yahweh, and they can't even tell you why they say Yahweh. Yeah. Yes, sir. On Yahweh? Yeah. Well, the Jehovah's Witness got the Jehovah right, but he's not Jehovah's Witness. If they went to the book of Zechariah, 12:10, it told them plainly who Jehovah was. He's the one that was pierced. How many of you following what I'm saying here this morning? All right. Now, here's the bottom line to this. All right? Here's the bottom line. When a man says Yahweh, he's telling you he does not believe the King James Bible. No other choice. Right? Am I right? That's exactly what he's saying. He has chosen a name that has no basis. There's nothing to use to pronounce it. Just ask him, well, why do you pronounce it Yahweh? Well, I heard so-and-so say that. Oh, okay, well, good. That's why you do it. That's as far as you go. That's as deep as you are because you heard somebody else say that. Is that what you believe? Because you heard somebody else say it? See what I mean? See how it's crept into the churches today? This right here was given to me the other day, and I watched it. And this young man right here has a wonderful testimony. He has a wonderful testimony. But in this thing, he uses the term Yahweh, and he says that Jehovah is wrong. Okay? All right? So I watched his science. I watched his theology. I said, okay, you've told me Jehovah's wrong. Now base that on something. You know what he did? He uses the old worn-out method of saying, well, he drops the letters down and shows them how that the Jews took the word Adonai. Adonai. And used the vowels from Adonai and put them in Jehovah. Or in other words, Yod, Hey, Wow, Hey. And that's how they got the pronunciation. All right. Let's say, for example, the Jews did that. Okay? Let's say they did. Let's say you were a Jew living 2,000 years ago at the time of Christ. You were living 2,000 years ago. At the time of Christ. If you picked up an Old Testament and read it at the time of Christ 2,000 years ago, all you had was consonants. You didn't have any vowels. I hope you're following me on this vowel consonant deal. All right? That's all you had was consonants. In plainer words, you had to be a Jew to be able to read your book. It was bound, kept, sealed, and delivered in the hands of the Jew. See what I mean? You had to be raised a Jew, taught a Jew, lived a Jew. You had to be educated as a Jew to be able to read that Old Testament. Otherwise, it was an enigma. It had no vowels. There's no way you could read it. No way whatsoever. What does that say? That says that God gave to the Jews the oracles of God. Amen. Romans 9. That means that He gives to the Jews the oracles of God, and that means He gives to them the interpretation. In plain words, the Masoretes who put that vowel point in there. I'm not going to argue with them. Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to stick with Jehovah. If you want to do a little research on your own, think about the Jehovistic combinations. Think about the way Jehovah is in the names in the Old Testament. And try to take Jehovah out and put Yahweh in those names. And it is such a confusing thing. It works with Jehovah. It does not work with Yahweh. And that shows you right there that the hand of God is in. But anyway, he's a fine young man. He loves the Lord. No doubt in my mind about it. He's got a great testimony. And 99% of everything he says in this right here is good. But the part about Jehovah, he's dead wrong. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll let you go.